Hey, movie lovers, you can enjoy Real Nerds Podcast in many ways. You can go to our website, realnerdspodcast.com. There you'll find articles and the podcast. You can go to our YouTube channel and you will see the Real Nerds Pod Show. We're also on Blue Sky. Hey, did you know Facebook is still a thing for people? Yep, we're on there too. We are also on Threads. There are many ways to interact with us. All our film adventures are posted on Instagram. If you have a social media account, you can find the Real Nerds Podcast.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
just
can...
talk to film!
I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will turn out all the gods. Lights, camera, action!
Welcome to Real Nerds Podcast, unofficially, well, I'm going to say officially, the greatest movie podcast that's ever been conceived. I'm Ryan. I'm always joined by my buddy, Brad.
I'm here.
Yay. And it's always a good day or a good week, Brad, when a new Steven Spielberg film comes out.
Yeah.
Which is what we do. Every week we see a new movie, we podcast our experience to the world. And this week was Disclosure Day. Stay
tuned.
We're going to be disclosed.
We're going to disclose our review.
Yes. Stay tuned. We'll recommend the film or not. Play the trailer, then we'll spoil it. We'll also talk about movies we watched throughout the week, and maybe something will tickle your fancy, and you'll want to watch what we've watched. We like to go down the road of movies, and we've been doing it for 15 years now.
Yeah.
One of our original celebrities.
Isn't it 16 now?
Is it 16?
Because we crossed a new volume.
Almost, because May 2011 was our first episode.
Yeah, I guess it's volume 15.
Yeah. So it's kind of, it has to go around. But one of the first celebrities we ever had on our show, Georges Genty, artist extraordinaire from Denver Comic Con, then Denver Pop Culture Con, he put out a new sketchbook. And so, of course, I ordered it. I don't know if there's any left because he only printed 20 of them, but they're only $10 on his website.
You have one of 20. That's amazing.
Yeah. But when I was there, I said, I should just get a sketch too, because his bust sketches that he inks as well are only $75. And that's a pretty good deal for original art. So I bought the book, which is Marvel Macabre Chibis, which are the cute little, I don't know what a chibi is exactly, but they're, they look like Disney characters, I guess, the best way to describe them. And so I did that, and he sent me a message back, not knowing it was me. And he said, "Hey, Ryan, this is Georges here. Did you want," because I had him draw Witch Woman from Ghost Rider. She's only in 6 issues of Ghost Rider, and she debuted 52 years ago, so she's not really that popular. But I always like the comic characters that are imbued with the power of the devil for some reason, because it's fun. Anyways, so I said, "Oh, hey, Georges, yeah, if I can get her with a headband, because I like her from the 70s. And this is Ryan from Real Nerds." And then he sent a message right back. He says, "Oh, Ryan, how are you guys doing? How many episodes do you guys have now?" And so I told him we have, over 730. But we have countless other ones that we don't count. And he says, "That's pretty amazing." And he says he wants to come back on the show. So I'm going to set up a time to do an interview with him. Because the last time we interviewed him, he was just doing The Mandalorian. But since then, he's drawn Godzilla, more Star Wars, and a bunch of other stuff. I can't even keep track. What was really cool, though, is he sent me his only sticker of Satana of the Marvel Chibis. So I really appreciate that.
Nice.
That's like a little bonus.
Yeah, every time we do a Fan Expo, I always hope we're going to get to talk to him again. But yeah, we don't need Fan Expo to do that.
Yeah, I always, because he's super busy, so I always feel weird to just cold call him and say, "Hey,
can you take your work time and stick around with us?"
But he's always really cool. You should go back and listen to some of our episodes with him.
You go back and look.
You go back, yeah. I think we have probably 6 or 7.
Yeah.
I'll always be grateful to him when we had to go on the creator stage and we didn't know what to do. And he says, "Yeah, I'll go up there with you guys." And we just were showcasing his art, and he, that took an hour of his time. So he's always been really generous to us. and a really nice guy. And go to kappalounge.com and get stuff. I mean, he does even sketch cards. I think his sketch cards are $20. And it's incredible art, and he can do anything. So I always recommend that. His Godzilla stuff's awesome. I wish I had a lot of money, because he did, he had a few pages from Godzilla Kills the Marvel Universe. And in one of them, it's Godzilla and Spider-Man is swinging through his mouth, and it's a splash page, and I just don't have splash page money. But it would be a really sweet, like, piece of art to have.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, how many times are Godzilla and Spider-Man in the same panel? And, yeah, so big shout-out to him. And, yeah, just we've been doing it for a long time. Haven't missed a week. Still haven't missed a week. And we keep going. So that's what I like to do. Every week we see a new movie. And Disclosure Day is a movie we saw this week. Brad, do you recommend Disclosure Day? You've seen anything bad about Emily Blunt, I'll kill you.
So here's what I hate about Emily Blunt.
Son of a bitch!
Just her in this movie. No, you know, it's not a poorly made movie or a bad movie, but I did, the story was just a big nothing burger for me. Like, you know, Spielberg's doing high quality work, but at the end of the day, there was just nothing. You know, they act like, oh, we're going to reveal something super important by the end, but they kind of do that in the first 5 minutes, and then you're kind of just like waiting to see how they get there, and then that's it. And I can't really say any more without spoiling, even though I don't know. Like, again, I just said the reveal isn't that spoilery. Mm. So,
I'll confer with what you said. I will say that Emily Blunt is really, really great in this movie. I mean, she's always really good, but it's one of those ones where she just really kind of, I don't know. It's one of those films where the actor is very, very noticeable how great they are in the film. Yeah, it's really well made. There is some great moments and chase moments in it. The trailer kind of gives it too. I why do we have to keep on doing CGI animals? It really takes me out of stuff.
Like, you can just release a deer into the shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is a good movie. I will. Everybody's doing great work in it. The score is great. The acting is great. Spielberg does a great job directing it. But yeah, it's just a sci-fi movie. Here's a trailer for Disclosure Day.
What did you steal?
Secrets. The data they paid me to protect.
Are they people?
No.
Good morning, Kansas City. Let's take a look at today. Today is today's.
Do you understand what she's saying?
I hear her. It's gibberish. I can't understand it.
And I can.
What's happening to me?
People have starved for the truth. I'm a part of it now. I'm just sorry they made you a part of it too.
Hello, Jane. Please. Have a seat.
This 79-year terror campaign of lies has to end.
What are you gonna do?
Full disclosure to the whole world.
That truth will upend all established order across the entire world. If you do this, there's no undoing it.
Yeah!
Why would they do this?
When the time is right, everything will become clear.
Whatever happens,
don't you let go.
In Disclosure Day, the wonderful, probably the greatest actress of all time, Emily Blunt, plays a weather reporter.
In Kansas City.
From Kansas City. Boo. Freaking Chiefs.
They should send her over to Denver here.
Yeah, where winners are.
You know, she's not the sports reporter.
No, that's true. All right, let's slide. But anyways, so
she's the Denver weather reporter. Yeah, it's 100 degrees again.
I know.
Back to you.
What's up with that lately? So she plays a weather reporter in Kansas City, and right away she has a fiance, and are they married?
I think it was a fiance situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Fails.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Good old Kurt Russell's son.
Wyatt Russell.
Yeah. You know what? He's actually really good, but every sometimes I will close my eyes and I can hear Kurt Russell. He yeah. sounds just like him. Anyway, so they live in Kansas City, and we learn that she kind of bounces around because she can't settle down. And but I kept thinking their apartment's really cool, that like industrial kind
loft
of
thing.
Yeah. And one morning when she's on her way to work, this bird comes in and seems to
hypnotize her.
Yeah, kind of that. This. She has a power over this bird, or the bird has a power over her that she doesn't fully understand. And she's kind of clairvoyant in a way. Cause on the way there, she's so distracted. She gets stopped by a police officer and she's able to connect with him, through, you know, not spending time with his family. And then they spoil it in the trailer that day at her newscast. She speaks in alien
tongue.
And we learn that the government, the fucking government, has some sort of secret ops people that are well aware of the crash at Area 51. And they've been experimenting on these aliens and
stealing their tech.
Yeah.
To give to the rich and powerful.
Of course, because they not only get tax cuts, they get alien tech. Mm. Man, we need to be like the Vulture. We need to be like Adrian Toomes and just be, you know, just take stuff from him. Ooh, you're the shocker. So the bad guys are the government again, and they find out that this other guy,
Josh O'Connor,
who's Dr. Kellner, who Margaret kind of says, oh, what does the name Dr. Kellner mean? And you find out that he was working for the government, and he's going to expose these aliens. And they're trying everything they can to stop it.
Our abuse towards the aliens, yeah.
Yeah, not that he's exposing the aliens that they exist, but the government's role in hurting them and doing autopsies on them. And so Colin Firth plays the bad guy, Noah, and he's able to use the alien tech to sort of
surveil them.
Yeah, and also project himself into places.
Yeah.
I guess they really don't explain the alien tech, which you don't have to. It's just...
yeah, you get to, like, see outside of yourself, inhabit other people, and then it also, like, severely damages your health.
Yeah.
So he can't do it that much, but he goes through it anyway.
Yeah, because he's trying to track down Kellner because he doesn't want them to expose the secrets. Like you said, they're trying to keep the secrets to themselves. They end up going to this farmhouse because we mentioned earlier, Margaret ditches her fiance at a gas station because she realizes he's working against her because they also want her because she knows where Kellner is. And so she ditches him, and Wyatt Russell didn't deserve her. She's too beautiful.
Yeah. Aren't they like 10 years apart?
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
she was out of his league.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's not old. Was she probably like 44, 45? I don't even know how old she is.
Maybe 51.
No, I don't think she's that old.
Yeah.
No, no way. She is 43.
Were you older than her?
Yeah, we are. She was born in 1983.
That is crazy to me.
Well, you know, when you watch like sports now and rookies are 22 years old. You go, oh, I could be their dad. Fuck. Yeah, so anyways, it sets up this big chase at the farmhouse, which the car chase is really cool. I like how it's shot. Again, the CGI kind of hurts it. And you know, I mentioned in the trailer, you kind of learn that the little girl is her, and they had the shared connection, her and Kellner, when they were young. And
they kind of spend the rest of the movie just being like, why are we connected?
Yeah, and so they go flashback, kind of like a Hansel and Gretel kind of thing. Mm. And it just, it's not that the artists that do a poor job. It's just the movements just aren't realistic. And with practical stuff, you forgive it and you expect it. And it doesn't take you out of the movie. And sometimes it's just the over-reliance on it is a bummer.
Yeah.
And you didn't need it. I don't know why they needed it for that. I understand sometimes it's easier to control the animals with a computer, obviously.
Right.
But
it's not like they're doing a stunt or
exactly
harming them.
Because couldn't you just put, you know, some feed in that room and have the deer walk in? And
yeah, but I guess like, well, I want the deer to like look up and like look in her eyes and like look down the camera lens at this specific time. It's just like,
but you know, I always think back to Sam Raimi and Spider-Man 2, where there's a lot of obviously visual effect shots in it, but he would intersperse them with actors. So you'd see, you know, Spider-Man drop down and then he'd be Tobey Maguire and Alfred Molina punching each other. And then when he had to, he would move that CGI. Why can't we do that?
Yeah. I also hated when the car gets like pushed into the train.
Yeah.
Like it gets seems torn
jumpy,
up.
Right?
Yeah. It seems like a CGI car, which like I get for safety, but it just seems like he's done it better in live action.
Yeah.
Like
look at Duel, his first movie.
Yeah. Indiana Jones. Like,
yeah.
All that stuff. It just seems like a cop out.
Anyways, it's still an exciting scene. My favorite scene in it is towards the end when they camouflage each other and they're surrounding that building and it's just shot really cool, you know? But yeah, it's because they're able to cloak stuff and there's a lot going on in this movie. And then the big reveal is the alien from are still alive and
geriatric.
Yeah. And the disclosure day is Emily Blunt goes out there and tells the
hey,
truth.
We have aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing else.
But I did really like too that little moment with Colin Firth at the end where he realizes he's beat. And he's like, all right, just show it then. I mean, I can't do anything now. Again, the music is so good. It's shot so well. But I'm kind of in the same boat. It's not a bad movie. It's, and I mean, obviously because Emily Blunt's in it, I'll definitely own it, but
like if this had come out in the 90s when like the X-Files was big, you know, when we're still wondering like, are aliens out there? Mm-hmm. Like, sure. But now it's just like, so the whole movie is just building up, just like tell people, yeah, there really are aliens in this fictional movie. Like, okay. Like when they wheeled out the main alien for a minute there, I thought like, if they roll out E.T.,
oh, bro, they should have so.
I would have lost my mind and then be like, this movie's awesome.
How could you not?
Yeah.
See, that's a genius pull right there.
Yeah.
That's genius. Because then people, you know what?
Something's.
But that would have. But then that would just brought everything full circle. And man, that just like blew my mind. Because
yeah.
I didn't even think of something like that.
Like, E.T.'s not the only one of their species. Like, maybe these other two people got like, you know, Elliot-like experiences or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So they. But again,
like they all this build up to like it has a sheet over its head. Mm-hmm. They roll it out, and you're like, oh, you know what's going to be? And it's just like, yeah, generic alien.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
You know, I did put in my letterbox review that it does give a nice sense of wonder again. I thought it really captured that in the film, and there's something to be said about how Spielberg makes films that he is untouchable in that way. Whether it's the shot in Jurassic Park, you know, whether it's the dinosaurs or whatever, I'll always point to Edley Sadler when she stands up out of the Jeep, that sense of wonder. And I felt that again in this movie, that we're going into the unknown. It has this wonder element to it. And I thought that was really cool. And something I did feel young again seeing a Spielberg film like that. Because he hasn't made a movie like that in a, I mean, I guess Ready Player One, but it's, you know, he's focused more on dramas, and I mean, Bridge of Spies is incredible and things like that, but it was just nice to see that kind of film from
the
him
stuff
again.
That like made him huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And it shows, I mean, what is he, 80? He still has firm command of directing.
Yeah. But it doesn't seem like he has any new tricks either.
Yeah.
So, which I mean, you want him to, because he's like the inventor of the blockbuster.
Yeah, you know, it's always going to be hard for him to live up to it, because no matter what, he's made so many incredible films. And, you know, I love, on Disney Plus, they have this documentary called Light and Magic, and it's about Industrial Light and Magic. And they're showing Star Wars and how he, Francis Ford Coppola, and George Lucas all directed stuff from Star Wars. Because they just says, hey, I want to direct this scene. Okay. And I think that's really cool. And I don't know if that will ever happen again, but...
Well, that's another thing I noticed is, like, Spielberg's been, you know, Michael Kahn's his editor, John Williams is his composer, Janusz Kaminski's his cinematographer, and he kind of, like, sticks with those people. And I started to think, like, is... Like, high quality as that is, it's kind of a shame that other cinematographers, composers don't get more chances to work with him.
Yeah, it'd be interesting because, I mean, there is a familiarity with it, and maybe it's comfortable.
Yeah, it's probably easier to make a film.
But what if you push him out of his comfort zone? What would you get from him?
Exactly.
You know, like Jaws.
And, like, all that experience that he has isn't being passed down to other...
That's a good point.
...talents, because he's just sticking with, like, the same people.
I mean, that's a fair point too.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, I still think it's a good movie. Definitely not one of his best, but is it really a bad Spielberg movie? Even like 1941 is okay. You know, I have this argument with Tom Cruise. I don't know if there's really a bad one. I think this is probably like in the middle.
Yeah, none of them are like an Asylum movie or something.
Yeah, no. There's a level of competency that he'll always have.
Also, I forgot to mention, apparently there was a TV show in like the early 2000s. I think it's called Haven.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically the plot of this movie, where there's like these two characters that are imbued with like some trauma from like an alien abduction. And they kind of go on this journey to figure what, you know, it out. Executive produced by Steven Spielberg. So he must have really liked that TV show so much. He's like, I'm gonna turn into a feature.
You know, no one remembers this. I can...
But again, it's like, it's an old idea that's past its prime.
And it's, again, it's so expertly done that it's still an entertaining film.
Yeah, it's fine.
And it's one of those. I actually am not getting the steelbook of this.
Me neither.
I think the, well, one, because Emily Blunt's not on the steelbook.
Really?
Yeah, so it's just like the bird with her eye in it.
Oh, it's okay.
So, but the wide release is her whole face.
See, the missed opportunity to do a holographic, like,
yeah,
lenticular.
That's what they should have done. You have the Raven, and then you pull it off, and then it reveals her face. I mean,
or you just roll it back and forth, and it like,
yeah, oh yeah,
yeah.
But don't worry, Emily, you'll still have a place, dude. Before we get, I have not bought the Devil Wears Prada 2, one, because, you know, whatever, but also the 4K of it's like $50.
Like, not Steelbook?
Yeah.
Okay.
And because I have, you know, I put
have
it
a Prada shoe inside?
Yeah, no shit. I put to watch on my Amazon, and I got an alert from Alexa that says it's lowest price in 30 days, $41.
I know Prada makes bags, not shoes. Shut up, the internet.
I couldn't believe it.
That's a lot.
Rod Stewart got stuck in the Prada elevator a couple weeks ago.
I guess he shouldn't cancel concerts to go watch soccer.
Yeah, fucker. So, yeah, no. You should go see Disclosure Day. I still think people should see it. It's still entertaining.
You could watch it on streaming. It'd be fine.
Yeah, you son of a bitch. You're the problem.
I am.
You're the problem. Every week, we watch movies or TV shows that we would like to recommend to you in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, yeah, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
I don't remember if it was this week, but since I constantly forget to recommend TV shows that I watch, I'm going to just jump ahead and say I watched the Upright Citizens Brigade.
Nice.
All three seasons from, I think it was
early
90s. Early
90s, yeah.
Well, no, late 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Early
2000s. Right,
yeah, you know, Amy Poehler, Matt Walsh, Ian Roberts, Matt Besser before, you know, they took off. as these four like counterculture trying to like fuck with society characters. They just do, you know, absurd skits.
Yeah, it's an unusual show.
Their most famous one's probably the Ass Pennies.
I used to watch it on Comedy Central. Yeah. It was on really late on Comedy Central.
Yeah, because it's
it's out crazy of shit. In it. It's out of control.
But yeah, it's fun. Like, I haven't watched it in probably 15, 20 years.
And there isn't really that kind of absurdist TV shows anymore. You know, I miss the Adult Swim stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I've mentioned before, that's why I like Pickle and Peanut so much. And even that's, I think, 10 years old now, because it's just so stupid, but in a really brilliant way.
Yeah. And like, there are themes to the show. Like, all the skits do, like, Mr. Show, or is it Mr. Show or something else? They all do have like a connecting thread by the end, even though they're like wild and subversive and out there, like each one. And they're not like a set length, you know? You know, like, kind of the characters bounce around between different things. But yeah, it's the absurdity of it is like, yeah, just a lot of fun for me. So
hell yeah.
Movie wise, I didn't see anything in the theater. I did try to watch Stop That Train. But I fell asleep really quickly.
Dang. You know, I missed it because I didn't stay in theaters very long.
Yeah.
But I miss spoofs so bad. And I only saw one scene from it. And Kristen Bell was in it. And it was really funny. I know how you feel about Kristen Bell. But it's yeah. It looked like it was a fun movie.
Yeah. I would have gone back to see it if it hadn't left theater so quickly. and I guess I also watched Boogie Nights for the first time.
That's a really popular movie.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yep.
just kind of a hangout movie.
Yeah, and it's, you know, Paul Thomas Anderson, and sometimes his stuff is...
Yeah, the music's really good. Soundtrack is a banger.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a bunch of...
Great performances.
Yeah, it's a high-quality movie, but the story is kind of the same old, like, you know, naive guy gets pulled into this world and gets a big ego, and then...
And has a huge cock.
Has a huge cock and a big ego. And they do drugs, and everyone kind of...
Drugs are so cool.
Ruins their lives, and then they have to go into the 80s and get their shit together again. Yep. What'd you watch?
Just a couple things, and actually they're rewatches, because sometimes things are put on 4K that probably have no business being on 4K, and those are sometimes my most favorite films to get on 4K. So I watched Dirty Work with Norm Macdonald, which you don't seem to be a very big fan of, but I mean, according to your Letterboxd rating, it's not very high.
No, I mean,
it
didn't change the world.
No, so this movie's really fucking stupid, but yeah. It's really funny, and I'm bummed. I haven't had time to watch. They have a workman's or a worker. They have a different cut of it that's rated R.
Yeah, which I haven't seen.
Which it's rated R already. Or maybe it's PG-13.
It's probably PG-13.
But I just forgot because it's kind of stupid. And I love the part where Norm Macdonald and Artie Lang are in jail. And he says, well, you know, what jail's known for. What? What is it known for? You don't know what it's known for. And Norm Macdonald's a horrible actor. But for some reason, it's really endearing in the film. And, you know, then the cell guy or the prisoners come up to Norm Macdonald like, all right, let's go. And so they both stand up and they put their hand on Artie Lang to sit down and said, not him, just you. And then it cuts and Norm Macdonald's pulling up his pants. He goes, ridiculous. You know what hurts the most? Well, besides that one thing, it's a lack of respect. It's just so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And then Chris Farley has it's his last role. It's an uncredited role as Milton. Is it Milton? I forget, but his character...
Nose got bit off by...
Yeah, got by a Saigon whore.
Yeah.
And...
which is a recurring joke for Norm Macdonald.
Yeah. He literally just shows up and... yeah. And the movie's really stupid and...
But what's the difference between the two cuts that you noticed?
You know, I haven't seen the other one. I haven't had time to watch it. I really want to. Because if I read it right, I think the director's cut, and it's not even really a director's cut. I guess it's like original
cut before they
like 2 hours.
Yeah.
So I don't know. 2 hours is a long time because I think the original movie is 81 minutes. So, I mean, you're cutting My wife's really pretty. Cutting a lot. And I also waited too because Vinegar Syndrome put it on 4K and I didn't like the slip cover. It's like a hairy chest.
Yeah.
So I waited until they just put out the standard one with the original poster art because it has a reversible cover and it's the hairy chest one. I go, nope. But also, you know, when they want to put fish in that guy's house and it turns out they're fucking drug dealers and they all get murdered. it's too funny. The other thing I watched was another film I was waiting a really long time for on 4K was Day of the Dead. Scream Factory put out a huge release. In fact, Scream Factory lately has kind of been just not putting out as much stuff anymore. But this one came in with a rigid case, and I think they're kind of recommitting themselves because Arrow has put out so much great stuff. I mean, Arrow, hands down, is the best physical media right now. But anyways, this one is a 4K of the film, and then they have a bunch of special features and a couple new things. A lot of it's I've seen before. The best one is there's an hour and a half documentary about how they made it. But it's really cool to see a movie like that get a 4K, because then you can really appreciate the practical effects in it. And yeah, you can sometimes see like where they're about to get their flesh ripped off. You can see the little stuff. But there's still such like great art to it, and it's a really bleak movie, and it's become a favorite of mine just because all the characters in it are pieces of shit, and you really don't root for anybody in it except for the zombie bub, you know? So it's a really fascinating thing, and I think Romero is right. It's not his last part, but it's his original trilogy and how society devolves and how you treat people. And yeah, there's zombies walking around, but people are the real assholes. And it's a tough watch. I think it's one of the best horror movies ever made, but I understand, you know, you have movies like that where you understand why people don't like it, but I wish they would, because it's nobody in it is redeeming.
Yeah. Father's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see why people wouldn't like it, but I wish they would.
Yeah, for sure. yeah, that's what I watched. So, yeah, I'd pick up both of them. I mean, Vinegar Syndrome, it's kind of funny. Dirty Work doesn't seem like a movie they would put out, but fuck it. And and they did a good job. The transfer is really good. I mean, it's Bob Saget. I mean, there's no reason for it to be in 4K, really. But, I mean, the colors are brighter. You see more details and stuff. The sound is great because it's not as compressed. So,
I think the real find is getting that R-rated cut.
Yeah.
And if you're going to go back and, like, yeah, just make it 4K.
Yeah. And because I think the R-rated cut, if I read right, is a work print, so they couldn't really upscale it too much. But that they included it, I mean, that's what, to me, is what physical media should be. Is can we get stuff that you wouldn't be able to get?
Yeah, and film preservation.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's what I watched this week. Next week, we're seeing Toy Story 5, you know, the movie that Corinne, for some reason, hates and she's never seen it. She hasn't seen Toy Story 4. I don't know how to tell someone that Toy Story 4 is a good movie.
She better get on the train because I think this movie's going to be even more successful than 4.
Looks like it's going to... You know what? That's a great prediction. I wonder if it's going to come true.
Yeah.
Until next week... We'll see you at the movies. Well, a real nerd knows who shot. A real nerd can follow the plot. A real nerd will give it all he got. Lights, camera, action. Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!